Well, thank you, and God bless you. And so we're so delighted this morning to have you all here. And as I said, we're so delighted to have you all here. It's so great to have a family that we can actually touch each other in our need and with the joy of the Lord as we share affectionately one with another. And this morning we're so happy to have Brother Ted come. And as you know, Brother Ted has been coming to the church now for about a year. And we appreciate not only his spiritual gifts, but we really do appreciate his gift of carpentry. And every time I see Ted, I think about my own carpentry skills. And I just recently built a shed about, 10 years ago. And everything went together as it should, except when the door had to go on, it wouldn't fit. And I wish I'd have known Ted then, because the only recourse I had to fix the door was take a 20-pound sledgehammer and give it a couple bangs, and the door fit. But Ted is our gift to the church, and we want to bless you today as you come and share your testimony, how God has brought you to saving grace. And perhaps you can tell us something about your childhood and all the rest of it, Ted. You come in Jesus' name and share with us the message of the Lord that God has given to you for us today. And let's give him a welcome, amen? So let me pray for you, Ted. Lord, we thank you for Brother Ted. We thank you for his gift, Lord, his empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be that witness in his community. We pray that as he speaks now, that he will have confidence that you are speaking through him and you are providing us with encouragement that we need to walk on and stand strong in the Lord, even as he does from week to week, empowered by you, knowing that you will never leave him nor forsake him. In Jesus' name we pray with confidence. Amen.
Amen. Now, you just about got me into trouble because you said I did some work here and I'm supposed to do some work for my dear friend Karen and her house. But I just can't do all that fancy work anymore. Her house is just nothing but the best and it's so fancy. So I just didn't have the. But what shall I say? I'm not a preacher like Gordon. But what I wanted to say, praise be to God. And we were singing this song, soon, very soon, we will see the King. I don't think we'll have to wait soon, very soon. We ought to be walking with him right here and now. And we ought to have a relationship with him. And I'm just thinking of these songs. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And that's my aim. And that I've experienced in my life. He is my rock. And he's my salvation. I can't put it in the real words, but he's real in my heart. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his name. And another thing, we as Christians have to keep in mind, we are set aside for his purpose. We have to realize that we are not like the rest of the people. God has a purpose in your life and in my life to be different. And that we can accomplish with the help of the Lord. But it takes a sacrifice. We have to learn to listen to that still, small voice. And I can sing it from the bottom of my heart. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. But to get to that, that takes a cleansing in our lives, to be really set apart and listen to that still small voice and to be obedient to the prompting of the Spirit. Now when I Father Gordon mentioned you want to know something about my youth, and even from my youth on I know God had a reason to put me aside even as a young boy. I always had a soft spot. I always was drawn to the things of God. And I even remember when the persecution started there with some of the Jews there. Even as a boy, I noticed that, and it just made me sad. It made me sad. I remember my grandmother used to say, or she used to tell us stories. They didn't talk too much, but sometimes about, you know, there's a danger. Our love for God can grow cold after a few years. But my grandmother used to tell me, that's quite a story, and I never forget. They were greeted with fresh cow manure when they got out of church. It caused those people, you know, to put a zealousy for the Lord. And I know the building where my grandmother used to tell me where they met in the 1880s. And I grew up in a Baptist family, and my mother was born again Christian, and my dad, he sort of ran along, and he always looked at people, and he stumbled a lot of times, and it sort of ruined his life spiritually. So let us always look to the Lord, because people always let us down, but there's some wonderful Christian people I had in my life. I could look up to them. So there's two sides to the story. But if we are walking with God, we can be a pillar to people. I remember that was in 1939. I was only 5 years old. My mother sent me to the farm to get some milk. And I don't know, I got too close to the creek. And I fell in. And I went right through the culvert. It sucked me right through. And I went over another one, over the top. There was so much spring runoff. And this farmer, he heard me scream. And he went with the manure hook to down the creek to look for me. And I got hung up on a willow tree before the smaller creek went into the big one. And that's how he pulled me out unconscious. And then I remember just a little bit when I came to. I guess the doctor was there. But then there was a neighbor, he always called me Moses. But it was there. It was just the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord which brought me that far. And then that was later on when I was about 15. No, I was 18. I drove my dad's truck all on business. It's all business purposes. But I had to go through a ditch, and I guess I watched it. Anyway, I backed out, and somebody drove into me. Naturally, it was my fault. And in those days, every maybe hour or two, you saw a car drive by, so there was nobody to take the guy to the hospital. He was badly injured, smashed up his knee. Naturally, my mother and I talked it over, and we prayed and prayed, because it looked pretty serious, and I went to visit the hospital, and this guy, he got to be pretty nasty with me, because he said, if one lawyer isn't good enough, we're going to get two to sue you. I just kept praying, you know, in my experience as a young Christian. And so, anyway, we went to the hospital again. The guy got so nasty, I never went to visit him again. But one day, after months of prayer, my mother says, oh yeah, and I had a dream that night, I didn't talk about it. I had this dream and I saw this fellow walking down the street like newborn, perfectly. But we didn't talk too much about dreams in the Baptist church. And then my mother says at breakfast, did you hear this fellow, I forget his name already because so long ago, he's coming out of the hospital. And I'm telling you, that set me up in my Christian walk. They said he will have a stiff knee, and he got out of the hospital, healed and well. Boy, that put me from grade 1 to grade 8 or 10. That really happened. And his employer did something wrong. He was working under the table, so he couldn't sue us. But when I came to Canada, I had a record. I was negligent in traffic. That's on my record. But that brought me higher with the Lord. That was an answer to prayer.
Amen.
And so, praise the Lord. That's when I had my ideas full of Canada, coming to Canada. I was only 19 years old, but I started to know my God through those experiences. And I came all here by myself. I had nobody. And then I got introduced in Edmonton. There was this lady, they taught a Sunday school, the family, and they got familiar with the Christian groups, you know, the deeper, and I got introduced to the North Battleford Revival. And I just came, I was in the U.S. for 3 months, and I met this lady from that fellowship in downtown Edmonton. She says, because I was 3 months in the U.S., and I had gone to the services there, there was an anointing and a moving of the Spirit like I had never experienced in my life. And so this lady says to me, where have you been for? I says, I've been in the U.S. And that drew me back, to come back to Canada, because of what I had tasted. And so I went to the lady. She says to me, there's no service on Sunday. We're all going to Saskatchewan for camp meetings. And I got in the bus. I didn't know where North Battleford was. I got off on the wrong North Battleford. But I'll tell you people, when I got there, I got out, and there was a camp meeting going on, and I felt the Spirit of God like I never experienced in my life. And a holy hush, singing in the Spirit, like I'll never forget. And I want to tell you, we've got to learn to wait on God. It says, sing a new song unto the Lord. That means we ought to wait on God. And maybe shut the TV off on Sunday night, on Saturday night, and wait on God. Read the Word. And you might be surprised if you read the Word yourself at home. You might have the same word, what the minister, what you have for you. And it verifies. So wait on God and do your part. And then I used to sing in the choir at the Baptist church. And I said to myself, Lord, this is all nice and dandy. But I read the Psalms, sing a new song unto the Lord, wait on God. I says, Lord, I'd like to have that gift to sing in the Spirit. And I must say, the Lord gave me a song in the Spirit many times. We in the churches, we ought to wait on Him. Not just always get the hymn book out, but wait. God is ready to give you, but we have to have a clean heart. We ought to clean up our lives. There ought to be no strifes, no enmity against anybody else. We have to forgive each other. When the Bible talks about holiness, that's what holiness is. That doesn't mean we are perfect, but we got to have a clean heart. And then God can pour out His Spirit on our lives when we listen to that still, small voice. I hope I make some sense.
Yeah.
But it burns in my heart what I'm saying. And anyway, that changed my life to meet those people. And out of that, the great Latter Rain movement started. You know, and I was so surprised at Mission Fest. At the bookstand, he was selling the tapes, the North Battleford Revival. I had never heard that before, never seen it before. But I was there. There's three tapes, three big discs. He described the first one I bought, and actually I never saw it before. It describes what went on there. And then I have to say about my dear wife, and that's where I met my wife. And she came from Northern Alberta, and my wife was God sent. I met her there at the church in Edmonton. And you know what made up my mind to ask for her hand? She led out in prayer in the church, and she had a prophetic word. I said, that's the woman for me. Honest. And we had a wonderful marriage. But then, about 27 years ago or more, I was going to go and cheer up a friend. He had trouble in his business in the Caribou. And my wife and I were going to go. We are on the way. We had this head-on collision. And she didn't even want to go. And she was smashed up so bad, and she just about died right then and there. Took over 2 hours to get her out of the wreck. And there again too, I got out of the car, and then I collapsed. That's all I remember. And they put me in the ambulance with the people which hit us, the guy, the drunkard. And that's when I really learned that I had another experience with God. The guy which drove the truck, which hit us, which was drunk, and he had some passengers with him, they were cussing and swearing because they all had injuries, and so had I. And that was from Lytton down to Hope and the ambulance. My wife was still pinned. And the peace of God came over me. I had peace, and they were screaming and cussing. And I learned right then and there, even right here and now, if we walk with God, you can be in heavenly places and the next one is in hell. To my German, now we got 3 Germans here. Who else speaks German for? But no, why I say that, I sang the old German hymn right there in the ambulance for myself. And it says, even if I don't feel anything of your presence, but you are there. But I even felt the presence of God on top of it. And that is our privilege today as children of the King. And where the song says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And then we got the Vancouver General. The wife was down in intensive care for 2 weeks. I was on the 3rd floor. Yeah, that's many, many years ago. And the lady in charge of nursing, she came in and asked the patients, how are you, how are you? And I said to her, I says, I'm only here by the grace of God. She says, what? What did you say? So she left. But the next day she came back again and talked to me. She says to me, she says, you know, I'm a backslidden Baptist. That's the head nurse. I said, what? And I'm saying, now you came to the right man. You know, I told her about what Jesus done in my life. And she came back once more. Naturally, I never saw her again, but she had her business to do. But sometimes what we are going through and what God leads us into, the Lord only knows what his purpose is. And there was a fellow next door and the same room. And he was badly injured too. He got squashed between 2 cars and his, you know, was standing there. Somebody backed up. The man, you know, those when they started the cutbacks, then already, I don't think they treated them right. So I went over there after I could get out of bed after a few days. And I said to him, I said, can I pray with you? Ah, he was so happy, he crossed himself. But I prayed with him. I prayed the peace of God on him. It did him good. He was so happy. And the rest, the Lord knows the rest of it. So what I wanted to say, there is nothing better than to walk, to get to know God. And this is nothing superficial. And it's nothing in another world. We can walk with God and be Christ-like right here and now. Right here and now. And that's my aim. And may the Lord help me to let my light shine. And may I be able, with his help, to radiate out the love of God to the people I meet every day. And that's Christianity, practical Christianity. Everything else, which is superficial, and I don't want no part of it. We have got to live it and walk it today. But he's my all in all. And you know, I got this wonderful job as a school board for 23 years. My wife always said, I got the credit for that, because she found the ad in the paper. But I went there and they interviewed me. And so I said to the guy, I says, they called me back twice, three times. And I says, he said to me, oh, now I have to sort this, you guys out from 50 to 15. And then I came back again. He says, I have to make 5 out of them now. But anyway, I got the job out of 50. To God be the glory. And the nicest job I've ever had. But there again, one day, a janitor comes to me. He says to me, he says, oh, you're just like the vice principal. I says, what do you mean, just like him? Ah, he's a Christian, like. So that really made my day. But you know, that man, he used to go out and talk to the kids, to the high school students, in his lunch hour. He mingled with them, and that man was a real blessing. You know, I think he was even a Hungarian. He said he's going to go after he retires to Hungary. Oh yeah, mission trip to Honduras. A few years before, and I worked, I have to say that too, and this, everything I say, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, it's not me, I just want to lift him up. I worked with a fellow at the school board, and you know, he was brought up in a Christian family, but all too strict, you know, and he turned away from the things of God because his mom and dad were just too strict. It just turned them off. I think one time he told me he brought a girl home and he didn't use the right word, and his dad slammed him right in the face, right and left. But anyway, at that time I was in the summer times, I was foreman, and they hired this guy temporary, and I could see right away there was something different about that man. You know, he wasn't even walking with the Lord, but a Christian upbringing, it molds your life. It even sometimes if people don't walk in the God's ways, but you're molded. But anyway, about 6 years ago, I had long retired and I had seen the guy for a while. He comes right to my house. I says, Stell, how are you? He says, Ted, I'm no good. I got prostate cancer. What could I say? There, guy down and out. I say that only to the glory of God. I says, Del, let's go in the garage and we pray. And you know, he, about a couple of months ago, I had coffee with him. He says, Ted, I had the worst prostate cancer you can get, the doctor told me. And he's still here. So to God be the glory. And he took his wife, they went back to the church, they go to the church in Surrey. And through him, I got introduced to going to, because he was supposed to go on a mission trip to work in Havana and building on a church. Actually, I took his place, and there we worked. And it was just precious to meet those people there and dedicate your week or two. That's actually way too short, you know, to work there. And I went with the same group to Honduras there last year. And there too, I never worked so hard in my life, and I never got sick. And it was hard pouring concrete. To God be the glory. And it's so nice when you can help those people. They have practically nothing out in the country. And there was such a wonderful thing too, the fellowship from Abbotsford, where I going and are still partly going. They gave me $500, and so I told the coordinator, which is a U.S. farmer, he's super, he oversees everything, so the money goes in the right place and there's nothing wasted. He said these fellows came in from way out in the country, and they had built, made bricks out of dirt and straw, and they had all the four walls up, but they needed the money for the roof, and those $500 just covered the roof.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, that's all I have to say. To God be the glory.
Well, that was better than some of the messages I preach, because it comes right from the heart, right?